Good morning, everyone. If you would, open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 5. Mark, the fifth chapter. Before we begin, let's bow before our Lord together. Our Father, we come into your courts this morning with thanksgiving and praises to your precious name. Father, how thankful we are that you have enabled us by thy Spirit to come together and to worship you. And Father, I pray this morning that that is what you would give us in this hour and in the next hour, that you give us a time of true heart worship, that you would enable us to, by faith, see our Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up, and enable us to follow his feet and worship with hearts that are broken over our sin, that are broken over our rebellion, broken over who and what we are. But Father, also thankful and rejoicing in Christ Jesus, that in him we've been made complete, accepted in thy presence, accepted in the beloved. Father, how thankful we are. And I pray you bless us as we look into your word. I pray you'd bless our children's classes. Father, bless our teachers, and how I pray mercy for our young ones. That, Father, you would be pleased to use this time to plant the seeds of faith in our heart, that they might be taught the scriptures, and we could one day say of them, as we say of young Timothy, that from a child they've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make them wise unto salvation. And, Father, we pray a special blessing for those that you've brought in the time of trouble and trial. Father, we pray you'd heal, that you would comfort. We pray you'd give a special portion of your presence to comfort their hearts until such time as you're pleased to deliver them from the valley. And Father, all these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. I've titled our lesson this morning, Be Not Afraid, Only Believe. This is a sweet story of a sweet interaction between the Savior and a sinner who particularly needed him. Our Lord told Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. That reminded me of the chorus we sing, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. And this is the commandment to you and me. Only believe. Don't do anything to help the Lord get the job done. Don't add your works to it. Don't add your morality to it. Don't add your religious ceremony to it. Only believe. Only believe Christ. You know, the Lord didn't tell Jairus, believe and do your best. He didn't say, now, Jairus, you need to believe, you need to join the right church, and you got to, you know, make sure you're doing all these right ceremonies. The Savior told him, only believe. Don't do anything else. Only believe. Because salvation is by faith alone, by grace alone. So only believe. But now, I believe this is a good question for us to ask ourselves. The Lord said, only believe. Believe what? What are we to believe? Are we to believe? Well, you know, you hear people say this on TV all the time. There's been some tragedy. Well, God's got a plan, and I believe it's just all going to turn out all right. Well, I mean, is it? I mean, I don't know. Are we to believe that everything will be okay as long as our faith is strong enough? Are we to believe everything's going to be okay as long as we, you know, act right and you know, moral enough? No. We're to believe Christ only. Only believe. And we're to only believe the Lord Jesus Christ as he's been pleased to reveal himself in this book. So I got 4 points I'd like to give you on only believe. The first one is this. Only believe Christ. But now you remember that faith's going to be tried. So you keep believing Christ. The story with our Lord's interaction with Jairus begins in Mark 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now Jairus came to our Lord out of desperation. I mean, he's a leader of the synagogue, one of the rulers of the synagogue. If he comes to this man Jesus, there's a price to be paid by this man. But he's desperate. He comes to the Lord because he's desperate. This is his little daughter that's lying at the point of death. Luke tells us it's his only daughter. And Jairus was afraid she was already dead. She was so sick, he was afraid she died already. And he's so desperate to see that little daughter healthy and raised again, to have her to hold and to hug and to raise and to love on. He's so desperate. He comes to the Lord. He only came to the Lord when all other hope was lost. And I'm not being too hard on Jairus, because you and me, the only time we ever come to the Lord for salvation is when all other hope is lost. When we see everything else that we've been trying to do fails, only then, when everything else fails, only then will we go to Christ for salvation. That's what Jairus did. He came to Christ because all other hope was gone. And immediately the Lord said, I'll come heal your little daughter. I'll come just immediately. Oh, Jairus was so thrilled and so relieved, because if the Lord's coming to his house, his daughter's going to be healed. Now, he knew that. And on their way to Jairus's house, they meet a certain woman, the woman we looked at last week with the issue of blood. And the Lord stopped. He took some time with this woman. And I just know this. Jairus was in a hurry. He was in a hurry because he had an urgent need for his little daughter to be healed. And it didn't seem to him like he had a second to spare. We need to be going, you know. But the Lord stopped. He stopped to heal this poor woman. Now, I'm just sure of this. Just human nature being what it is, knowing how we are, Jairus was not thrilled about this delay. He really would have just assumed that they kind of kept up a pretty good pace and walked to his house to heal his little daughter. But to his credit, he didn't say a word. He didn't say a word. Now, this is a trial. I mean, this is a hard trial. But boy, to his credit, Jairus kept his mouth shut. That's a lesson I wish I could learn, don't you? Let's just keep our mouth shut. There was no one else Jairus could trust. So he just kept trusting Christ. And even though Jairus was doing what he was supposed to do, he came to the Lord, he begged for mercy. The Lord said, I'll go heal her. And the Lord has this delay. Jairus doesn't mouth off. Jairus doesn't question the Lord. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, isn't he? Jairus hadn't done anything wrong here in this trial. But the trial got worse anyway. Look down here at verse 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Don't trouble him. There's no more hope. There's no more reason for him to come to your house. Your daughter is dead. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. See, now the situation's even worse, isn't it? His little daughter is dead. I mean, what can you do now? She's dead. But the Lord tells Jairus, don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. In the original Greek, these words mean, don't be put to flight. Don't retreat. And you entrust this to only me. Don't you try to help out. Don't you... try to find some remedy here. You entrust this to only me. Don't retreat from that. Now, those are such comforting words. And that's sweet words from the master to this poor man. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Now, that had to comfort Jairus' heart. But, you know, they still had to walk to his house. I mean, I don't know how long that took. Again, just speaking as a father, I think I know how fathers would feel about this. It seemed like it took a long time. You see, the Lord did not immediately tell Jairus what he was going to do. He didn't say, "Don't be afraid because I'm going to raise your daughter from the dead." He said, "Be not afraid, only believe." Only believe. And this is the thing about trials. One of the things that make trials so hard to endure is we're not delivered immediately. Never are we delivered from a trial immediately. We have to keep trusting Christ. We have to keep only believing, even though nothing seems to be happening. You know, not only are we not delivered from a trial immediately, almost never. Now, there are times, but almost never are our prayers answered immediately, are they? Almost never. We have to keep only believing. Because the Lord's going to teach us some patience in this thing. And whatever it is that we're going to go through, He's going to teach us some patience in this to learn to wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord, David said. And you know, not only does the Lord not answer our prayers immediately, usually He doesn't. There have been times I have prayed and almost immediately there's been an answer. But I can remember them because they're so rare. But also, our Lord never answers our prayers in the way we think He will. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. You know, we think we've got some great solution to our problem. We pray and ask the Lord to do it. And you know, the Lord's got something even better He's going to do. And we just have to wait on Him. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." You know, we think we've thought of the best solution, the most high solution. Our Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above that. "According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." The Lord always does something better than we could have thought of. So He gets all the glory. All right, only believe. Keep believing because faith is going to be tried. Here's the second thing. Only believe. Even when we don't understand what our God's doing. Verse 37. "And He suffered no man to follow Him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when He was come in, He saith unto them, Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn." They laughed Him to scorn. "But when he had put them all out, He taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with Him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying." Now, you know all of this is very confusing to Jairus, don't you? The Lord comes into the house and there's a bunch of mourners there. They're weeping and wailing greatly. And the Lord asks him, "Why are you making this ado? Why are you weeping? Why are you mourning?" And everybody had to think, of course we're weeping. Of course we're mourning. Of course we are. A 12-year-old girl has just died. She's the only daughter in the family. She's probably a shameless daddy's girl. Probably. This girl is the apple of her parents' eye. And she just died. And the family is weeping. Their friends are weeping and mourning with them. Of course they are. There are few things that I can think of more sad, more heartbreaking than this. I can't think of a worse trial for a parent to endure. The death of their child. And Jairus just didn't understand. He did not understand why would the Lord tell these folks not to do what just comes naturally to us. To weep and mourn when a little child is died. He didn't understand. Then the Lord said, the girl's not dead. She's just sleeping. Now, everybody knew life had left this little girl's body. They knew it. Her heart wasn't beating anymore. She wasn't breathing anymore. She's dead. Her body's dead. And they just laughed the Lord to scorn. But not Jairus. Not Jairus. He kept his mouth shut. Maybe things went through his head, but outwardly, he did not say a single word. He kept his mouth shut and didn't question the Lord. Now again, this is a good lesson we do well to learn, to not question our Lord about what he's doing. You know, truth be told, we cannot fully understand everything the Lord's doing with the circumstances that happen in our life. The ripple effects and what goes out, you know, and what all the Lord, you know, we might see a little bit of what the Lord's accomplishing, but what is accomplished from those ripple effects that just go out and out and out, you know, we can't understand what the Lord's doing there. We just can't understand. Now, if we know we can't understand, I mean, we know that. Everybody could agree with that, right? We don't understand. Well, then let's not question what we don't understand. Let's not question the Lord when we don't have the ability to understand, even if he did tell us. But here's something we can remember. Whatever it is that the Lord's doing, I promise you this. He's not doing something bad. No, sir. He's not doing something bad. He's not doing something evil. Look over a few pages at Mark chapter 7. The Lord had just healed a deaf man who'd had a speech impediment. And the Lord healed him. In verse 37, those people that saw this miracle of the healing were beyond measure astonished, saying, "He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He hath done all things well." That's true of everything the Lord's ever done. That's true. The Lord has done all things well. Before the Lord ever does anything for us, while the Lord's doing something for us, and after the Lord's done something for us. He's done all things well. The Lord has done all things well, even if he doesn't give me what I ask for, even if he doesn't give me what I think I need. If the Lord performs, if he does not perform a miracle for me, he's still done all things well. Abraham knew that. Look at Genesis chapter 18. Everything our God does is right just because he does it. Now, this is when Abraham begins interceding for Sodom. Genesis 18, verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Yes, he will. Always he does what is right. Now, I don't have to understand that, do you? I don't have to understand that what the Lord is doing is right. You see, we're not required to understand. This is what we're required to do. Only believe. So only believe, even when you don't understand what the Lord's doing. All right, here's the third thing. And it seems so obvious, but it's something that's such a blessing to me. Only believe because the situation is hopeless. Don't only believe even when the situation is hopeless. Only believe because the situation is hopeless. This messenger came from Jairus' house and said, "Your daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" The situation's hopeless. Jairus' worst fears have come true. His little daughter has died. You know, she was sick. While she was sick, he thought he had some hope for her, but now she died. And the situation is hopeless. You know, logic tells us somebody who's sick, they can get better, right? But when somebody's dead, all hope of life is lost. I mean, and who can blame J. Iris for thinking, well, all hope's lost now. You know, she's dead. I don't have any hope of her being raised back to life again. I mean, we've never seen anybody raised back to life again, have we? When one of our loved ones dies, we have no hope left for them to have any more physical life. That's why we bury him. If we thought they could come back to life, we wouldn't bury him. We bury him because we know there's no more hope. All fleshly hope is lost for poor old J. Iris. But you know what? That is the very best time to only believe. Only believe because the situation is hopeless. We only believe because that's all we can do, is just believe Christ. I can't do anything to help the situation, to affect the situation, to make anything happen. But our God has the power to do it. So only believe. Do you know why the reason is that the Lord brings us so low? He brings his people so low so that all hope in our flesh is gone. All hope in our flesh or somebody else's flesh. When all other hope is gone, what happens to us? We're forced to only believe. We're forced to, because the Lord has made it plain to you, there's nothing you can do. He shuts you up, so all you can do is believe on Christ. Now, that's a tough experience when the Lord comes to us in the preaching of the gospel and makes us see, I'm spiritually dead. I'm spiritually dead. Here's what I deserve. I deserve for God to cast me into hell. I've never done anything to please God. I can't do anything to please God. I'm dead, and I can't do anything to give myself life. I'm hopeless. Now, that's a painful experience, isn't it? But you know what? We have to be dead before we can be given life. God has to bring us low before he can lift us up. As long as I think that spiritually speaking, well, I'm just sick. I mean, you know, I don't do everything right, but I'm not as bad as somebody else, you know. As long as I just think I'm spiritually sick, I could have some hope of recovering. I could have some hope of, you know, of getting better. But when I'm dead, all hope is gone. And I have to be spiritually dead before I can ever be given life in Christ. So I must trust Christ only. Now you think about that. When the Lord came to Ezekiel and told him to go preach, where did he send him? He didn't send the prophet to the home for the aged and disabled veterans, did he? He didn't send the prophet to the battlefield immediately after the battle had ended. And there were fresh wounds and people maybe had just died just a few minutes ago. The Lord sent the prophet to a valley that was full of dry, dead bones. They'd been dead a long time. I mean, if you thought, well, there's hope that this body can be brought back to death because it's dead, but, you know, it's still warm, it's still, you know. These are dry, dead bones. Bones scattered everywhere. There's no flesh left in them. They're bleached dry. They're dead. Nobody would ever dream there could be life for those bones. But the deadness of the bones is what gave them hope for life. You've got to be dead before the Lord gives you life. Christ has to come save sinners by giving those dead sinners life. So only believe. Only trust him. If your situation is hopeless, you're a dead sinner, you just know at any moment God could cast me into hell. And he'd be right for doing it. I know that's terrifying. And I'm sorry. But it's good. It's good when the Lord brings you to that place. Are you hopeless? Only believe. Only believe because the situation is hopeless. That's what faith does. Then here's the fourth thing. Only believe because Christ is the resurrection and the life. In verse 41, he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now the Lord Jesus came and took this girl by the hand. And boy, if you don't see in this story that this is the sovereign of heaven and earth, this is the sovereign over life and death. He came to her and took her by the hand and said, I say unto thee, arise. Not just, you know, somebody else. I like how the Lord, when he talks to the Pharisees a lot of times, he says, well, you say this and your traditions say this, but I say unto thee, this is the one who has power and authority. He has a power over life and death. I say unto thee, arise. Now only believe. Only believe Christ, because he has the power to do his will. He has the power to give life to dead sinners. To you, to me, to our children, to our loved ones, to our neighbors, to our community. He has the power. Only believe, because he has the power to give life. This man has the power to put away the sin of his people. He put sin away. Where there is no sin, there can't be any death. He has the power to put sin away. He has the power to give faith so that we can only believe. And I'll tell you this. I know when you and me will come running to Christ. When he says unto us, I say unto thee, come. I say unto thee, come to me. See, this is a picture of the irresistible call of the Spirit. The call of the Holy Spirit is irresistible because of the power of the one calling you. The power. He has the power to make us willing to come when he says come. Now I'll tell you another reason why the call of the Holy Spirit is irresistible. Because when the Holy Spirit takes the gospel preached, he takes the word that's preached, and he shows you Christ in it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, is to reveal Christ to us. When the beauty and the glory of Christ is revealed to our hearts, you can't keep somebody from coming to Christ. You can't keep them away. They're going to come running. The Lord had the power, the irresistible power, to give this girl life. When he said, I say unto thee, arise, could she stay laying there? No, she couldn't. She had to arise. He gave her real life. This was real. This girl got up as soon as she arose, and she walked. Only living people walk. Only healthy people walk. You know, when Christ commands and he gives his people spiritual life, his people walk. They walk with Christ. They walk following Christ. The only people who can walk and follow Christ are people who've been given spiritual life. Our God comes to us and says, I say unto thee, arise. And we immediately walk following Christ, walk in his steps. And then the Lord commanded to give her meat. Now, the only people who can eat are living, healthy people. Well, when the Lord gives his people spiritual life, he commands that they be given something to eat. And they're given something to eat that's suitable for them. The children's bread. Now, the only people who can eat Christ and be nourished, spiritually nourished by hearing the gospel, are people that the Lord has made spiritually alive. I love how the Lord, he tells us, only believe. He's going to take care of his people from eternity to eternity. Not just from cradle to the grave. From eternity to eternity. He'll keep his people. He'll do everything that's required for his people. Only believe. When the Lord gives one of his children faith in Christ, you know what else he does? He gives them something to eat. He gives them a place where they can be fed through the preaching of the gospel. That's what the Lord's given you and me to do to our community. to our families, to our loved ones, to anybody who'll come. This is what the Lord's given us the responsibility to do. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Well, just preach Christ. Don't do anything to try to get somebody to make a decision. Don't try to make things happen. Don't, you know, do things to try to make the crowd, you know, grow. If we do that, we're just going to try a bunch of goats, not sheep. Just preach Christ and only believe. Only believe. He'll make it effectual to his people. All right. Well, I hope that'll be a blessing to you.